if you will, this morning to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, while you're turning there, there's a couple other announcements I want to make. There's teen activity coming up on Saturday, February the 5th. So y'all, you teens, mark your calendar from that. Or if you wish you were a teen, you could come, all right? And those who are no longer actual teens have to pay extra for the privilege, but you could still come. Then don't forget youth camp coming up in June the 13th through the 17th. Get yourself registered for that. It's cheaper if you register sooner, all right? So you say, well, what's the price? Holy cow, Brother Dunbar's been announcing it for 2 weeks. Why don't you listen, all right? If you don't know by now, talk to him. He'll tell you, all right? But get that time and get that down if you would. Love the youth camp's tremendous, tremendous thing. What a blessing. Some of the best decisions ever made were made at youth camp. God dealt with me. Every year I went to youth camp, God dealt with me. Hey, that includes the years I went as a sponsor, as the youth director, the years I've gone as pastor. God's always dealt with me at camp. So good thing to go. It is a good thing to go. Brother Roger Hawkins went to youth camp. He loved it. Brother Marshall's been a couple of times, and so hey, it's a good thing. You don't have to be a teenager to go to camp, so but it'll do you good. One other announcement, our mission conference coming up next month. Now listen, folks, I want you to mark it on your calendar, all right? I want you to clear out some dates, February 18th, 19th, and 20th. There's only 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Those 3 days, but those 3 days, some of the most important days in the year for this church and for Christians. And boy, I want you to get focused in and mark those dates down and plan to be here. Plan to be here. Don't let anything else come up. Don't decide to go out of town that weekend. Don't decide to just lay out. Hey, plan to be here and plan to come Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday, all right? Hey, look, it's really no problem. Saturday will feed you, okay? Saturday's International Supper. So, I mean, how hard is it to just come and to be with us? And I hope you will. I hope you'll just clear those dates out. They're very important, all right? So make sure you do that. All right, John chapter 1, everybody there. All right, now do me a favor this morning. It is right now 11:26, according to the clock back there on the back of the wall. And you said, is that the one you preach by? Yes, I preach in front of it every time I preach. So I preach by that clock. And but I want you to listen on purpose. Listen on purpose. Now listen. You'll listen fast. I can preach fast. But if you listen slow, I have to slow down. So make sure it's your fault if this goes a long time. It's your fault. So pay attention. Pay attention. Hey, do me a favor. Don't talk so people around you can pay attention. Just focus in on what's going on, all right? If you've got something that a thought suddenly occurs to you, I absolutely must not forget to tell my husband this. Then write it down on a piece of paper and tell him after church. If you don't have a pen, you can come up and pick up this one, all right? But I hope it embarrasses the fire out of you to do it. All right. John chapter 1, are you there? Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men might through him, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And we could go now to several places in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus Christ announced, I am the light of the world. The light of the world. There is no mistaking that's exactly who John was writing about in this chapter here in our gospel. He was writing about him. And I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, the light of the world. Now, I believe one of the things that most folks today take for granted is light. We take it for granted. We're used to just going into a room, flipping a switch, and that room is suddenly illuminated. We don't think about it. We don't give thought to it. We just flip the switch. Flip the switch. Very few remain today alive who grew up without electricity and the light that it provided. I didn't grow up in a home without electricity. As long as I can remember, we had electricity, all right? I'm not sure if it's in my possession or if my brother has it, but one of us has the lamp that once belonged to our grandparents. And it was an oil lamp that they used to provide light. My dad grew up in a home without electricity. So it was coal oil lamps that gave them light, okay? That was what they were, all right? On the other hand, we're used to instant light. I'll tell you how used to it we are. I know I've done this many, many times, and I have a feeling I'm not the only one that has. You know, you're at home, and the electricity goes off. Bam, right? And it's dark, and you go, man, where's the flashlight? You go, okay, it's in there. So we get up from where we are, walk into the other room, and flip the light switch. How many of you have done it? Come on. Man, I have. How many times? We go into that room, we know the electricity's off, but we're so used to it, we go into that room, flip the light switch on. Doggone, it's off in here too. What an amazing thing, you know. Surprises the fire out of us, you know. We do it because we're used to it, all right? Hey, listen to me. If you think this world misses the light from bulbs and tubes and that kind of thing, you need to consider what this old world would be like without the light of our Savior. Without that light. Hey, long before Thomas Edison, long before General Electric, long before Encore, this old world was lit by the Lord Jesus Christ. That light makes a difference. You see, light does some things. First of all, it reveals. It reveals. Light reveals blemishes and imperfections. I can remember going with my dad. We'd go to JCPenney's or to Sears over in the mall when they actually sold suits. And we would go over there. I'd go with him, and he'd find him a suit, and he'd be looking it over. And he would always, he'd tell the person helping, he'd say, I want to take it outside and look at it in the sunlight. And he would always take his suit outside and look in the sunlight, look it over, because that's where you really see the imperfections. If there's a blemish, it'll show up, all right? It'll show up. It can't be hidden because light reveals that kind of thing, all right? Hey, that's the reason when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, he had so much problems with scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, and all of that bunch. He said, why? Because the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shone on them and shone their imperfections to everybody. Everybody could see their hypocrisy. Everybody could see their fraud, their fake. Why? It was the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that revealed it to them, all right? It was his light that showed that out. And just getting around the Savior made them look bad, all right? It just made them look bad. Hey, folks, I want to tell you the truth. The light of his word does the same thing to people today. I'm convinced that's the reason a lot of times you can't get a lot of people to come to preaching service. Now, if you're having a Christmas program, we'll come. If you're having a cantata, we'll come. I'll be there. You know, if it's something that maybe could entertain me, I'll be there. But preaching? Come on now. I'm not going to do it. I heard a guy one time, I'm trying to remember what he did. I think he was a mortician, funeral director. And he was telling what he thought was this hilarious joke. And he was saying that this preacher had been after him to come hear him preach. And he said, Why should I come see you work on the one day a week that you work? Hey, I'm gonna tell you, that wasn't a problem. Problem was, they didn't want to hear the preaching. You see, there's just something about it when you take the Bible and you shine it on our lives. Hey, we take the written word, it works just like the living word did. Just like the living word did. It shows our imperfections. We don't look too good in that light. That's the reason if you as a child of God get saved, you get saved and you begin to live for God, you begin to really serve the Lord and you let that the Lord really begin to change your life, you'll find that your old friends will slowly kind of be shed off. You won't have to run them off. You won't have to tell them, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. You don't have to do that. Why? Because they won't be around you because you just make them uncomfortable. You just get, you know, they go, man, you know. They just don't want to be there. Why? You make them look bad. You make them look bad. Now, on the other hand, you can get saved and live like the devil and all your friends stick with you. Hey, if you'll still go to the bar with them, no problem. You'll still make a trip up the casino with them. They'll go, no problem. No, nothing wrong with that. We'll do that. Yeah, let's go buy lottery tickets together. We don't have a problem. Hey, I've got this old smutty magazine we'll look at. Of course, you don't have to do that today. You just go to the internet and all that pornography's there. If you keep doing that kind of junk, hey, you won't have a problem. They'll hang around you. But if you let the Lord really get in you, you'll begin to see them. They'd head the other direction. Like the old saying, man, you flip the light on and the roaches run, okay? They head for the corner. They're gone. Hey, stay with me this morning. That light reveals. It reveals. You can't hide things in the light. Second thing the light does is it warms. It warms. I like to go to the stock show. I didn't go last year because they didn't have it. I'm not going this year because I'm on a diet. No, I go to the stock show if you can't graze your way through the grounds. So I'm not going. But I love to go to the stock show, and every year I go to the FFA barn. You say, why? See the animals? Different animals every year? Nope. Same kind of animals every year. So why do you see them? Because I like them. I like to see the sow and the pigs, okay? I like little pigs. I like big pigs when they can become sausage too. But I like to go see them. But there's one thing, every year you go out there and there's a bunch of little baby chicks. And usually stock show weather is not good weather and it'll be real cold. And you'll find most of those chicks hunkered down under a bright light because it's warm. It's warm. That they'll huddle together there under that light. Man, it just keeps them warm. They like it there. And now they've got a slide so they can slide down in the water and swim, you know, and all. They're under the light. They're under the light. Now you go by there and you want to see them sliding down the slide, but they say, you slide down the slide. It's warm under the light, okay? And I want to tell you this. I believe with all my heart in the same way. Our Lord can warm the heart of the coldest sinner and draw him in. Draw him in. And that's the reason we as a church, we try to go out and knock on doors. So why do you do that? Try to witness to people. You say, well, what happens? People receive you sometimes, yes, sometimes no. Now, most people are not rude, but occasionally you run into the person that slams the door, get off my yard. Get off my porch, stay away from here. Didn't you see the sign, no soliciting? I can't read. Just tell them whatever. But, every now and then you get to some and you get the chance to witness to them. You say, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to warm up the heart of that old sinner. That's what we're trying to do. That's exactly what we're trying to do. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to do that. The light of the world provides warmth. Let me prove that to you. Take your Bible, Luke chapter 24, would you? Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, the Lord has risen from the dead. And the disciples are walking along and they're talking, all right? And so there's two of them walking along the road here, and they're chatting, and they're chatting, and somebody joins them, all right? And that someone begins to talk to them as they walk along, headed down towards Emmaus. And the Bible says, if you will, in verse 30 of chapter 24, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it them. All right, this is the fellow that had joined them as they walked. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Oh, I want to tell you, for the child of God to get in that light of the Lord Jesus Christ is like stepping up to the fireplace on a cold day. I mean, there is nothing like getting up to a fire on a cold, cold day. My mom, she would, before she died, she would always try to have a fire going. I mean, she'd want that fire going in the fireplace. And she didn't just warm up by it, she lived by it, okay? She sat by that fire all the time. You know, when it got cold, like 60, she's building a fire, and she'd have a fire going there, and I'll be honest with you, it's still good that you get up to a fire and just warm yourself. Boy, it's just a wonderful feeling. There's nothing like the warmth and the comfort that's provided by that fire. Oh, but you hear me. There is nothing like the warmth and the comfort that's provided when you're in his presence. Boy, there's nothing that approaches it. Just to be with him. Why? He's the light of the world. And that light, hey, it reveals, but it'll warm you too. It'll warm you too. Another thing it does. Take your Bible to Acts chapter 27, would you? Acts chapter 27. We're not going to read this whole account, but this is the Apostle Paul, and he's on a voyage, and he's warned them a storm's going to come up. The storm comes up, and it's bad, and it's badder than bad, okay? It's a terrible storm, and I want you to notice, look, if you will, down to verse 29. The Bible says, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for, notice, the day. The day. I'll be honest, I believe if I'd been on the ship, I'd be wishing the storm, the wind quit blowing. But that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said they wished for the day. The day. Now, why? Because it always seems like everything's worse during the night. Sickness always worse at night. Fever's always worse, seem like, at night. All right? I mean, you pick the storm. Storm. We lived in Fort Myers, Florida for 5 years. We never got a direct hit from a hurricane. But we boarded up several times because they warned us it's on the way. And fortunately, it just scared us a little bit. But it seemed like, to me, it was always at night. It wasn't during the daytime when the storm hit. It was always nighttime. Nighttime. And there's always something worse about it, because you hear that wind howling. Maybe you hear the rain falling, and you can hear trees, the limbs are whipping and creaking, and you hear something crash, and you go, "Oop, what was that? We can't see. Dark. That's what's going on." You say, what's that got to do with light? Well, you want the day to come, because there's just something about light will cheer us up. It's always better when the sun's coming up. Always. I mean, that old great song says, the sun's coming up in the morning. And it is. You say, what are we looking for? Well, we're looking for that light, okay? The oppression, the depression, the suppression that's brought on by sin keeps a host of people down in the dumps, all right? Makes people go through life with a very long face. It makes them have downcast eyes. It gives them a hopeless demeanor about it, all right? Hey, you don't have to go through life like that. You don't have to go through life like that, all right? If you would seek the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and let it come into your heart, I'll tell you, that light of life would cheer you up. It put something on your face. It put a smile on your face. It'll cheer you up, okay? There's an old song that says, you can have a song in the night. You can have a song in the night. You know, when the sun's not shining bright, you can have a song. You can have a song. When the storm's raging, you can have a song. You can be cheered up. Why? If you're in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you just let that light, get in that light, man. There's no reason for you or me to go through life with your lip dragging the ground, okay? Man, there's no reason to do that. You know, well, preacher, you don't know the trouble I'm going through. It's all right. Get with the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll cheer you up. It'll cheer you up. Hey, I've been laying in the hospital bed and found myself singing. Not because I was feeling good, but I just got to thinking about the Lord. Man, look, if you're saved, okay? If you're saved, you can have a song in the night. You don't have to have that long, long face. You don't have to be down in the dumps. You don't have to be. When I think of being down in the dumps, I think of a little boy I saw, oh my, years and years and years ago over in Saginaw. I was over there visiting in an apartment complex. And I saw this little boy sitting down. He was sitting on this little piece of concrete. His face was streaked with dirt. He was dirty. And you talk about the picture of dejection, long face. I mean, it looked like his world had crumbled. But he is just a kid. You and I don't have to look that way. We don't have to look that way. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ, that light cheer you up. It's like it cheers you up when the sun comes up. When the sun comes up, you've gone through a night of sickness. It was always at night when our kids would get sick. And they would start crying. And we'd walk the floor with them. And I would ask their mom, what's wrong? And she would look at me and say, how should I know? And I remember one time saying, because you're his mother. You're supposed to know, all right? Men aren't supposed to know that stuff. But women, y'all are supposed to know it, okay? Hey, it's at night when you have to walk the floor with them. Yeah, hey, it was a relief when the sun came up. The sun came up. If nothing else, you thought, man, I can call the doctor. Somebody be in the doctor's office. I can get to somebody. I can get some help. Hey, that light, it'll cheer you up. It'll cheer you up. One last thing I want you to think with me about light, though. Would you go in your Bible to John chapter 8? John chapter 8, light reveals, light warms, light can cheer you. Oh, but there's something else it does, all right? Something else so true. Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hey, that's the promise of God. I am the light of the world. Now, that's a fact. But then the Lord puts in an if you will. He that, if you will follow me, you'll not walk in darkness. But it says, shall have the light of life. See, there's one thing about light. Light cannot be contained. Contained. You can get you a paper sack if you want to. Close the top around a flashlight, turn that flashlight on. And then with that light on there, very quickly close that bag. And take that bag with you down into a cave and open it up. And you'll find out there ain't no light in that bag. Now, if you don't believe me, try it, okay? You said, "Preacher, we all know that." Well, wait a minute. Don't you think about that for a moment, okay? You can't take light, catch it, put it in a box. It can't be contained. You turn on a light, and you cannot say to that light, "Now, don't go past right here. All I want to illuminate is right over here." You don't do that. That light cannot be contained. You flip a light on, it'll travel around corners. It goes over and around the hills. That's why, now most of y'all have done this. I used to tell teenagers when we were going to youth camp and we'd get up real early and leave, I'd say, "Y'all can see something you've never seen before. It's called the sunrise," okay? Y'all think it's just automatically there, but we'd take them, we'd go and do that. Hey, you know, you're familiar with it, that sun's coming up. You see the light long before you see the sun, don't you? Why? Because that light can't be contained. It just keeps on, man, it'll go over a hill. It'll go around a corner. In my house, I can turn all the lights off on the very back, but if the light is on in our bedroom, it's no problem walking through the house because I can see enough light. Light's coming out of that room. Why? You can't contain it. Let me say this to you. Say, "What are you getting at, preacher? If you're following the Lord, if you're walking in the light as He is in the light, then you are going to have the light of life in you. You cannot help yourself. You can't. If you've got that light in you, it's going to ooze out of you somewhere, somehow. All right? It's just going to be seen. All right? People are going to see it." "Preacher, why are you going over that?" Let me keep going. The closer you follow the Lord, the more of that light you're going to have. More of that light you're going to have. And what you're going to find is you can't contain it. Now here's what I'm getting at. You go to the job, that light's going to ooze out. It's going to be there. It's going to be there. You go to school, they're going to see it. There's going to be some, you try to conceal it, but you're going to be awkward at trying to conceal it. You're going to look, it's going to be like, you know, a person that's done wrong, and you can see the guilt all over them. I've dealt with kids at school, have them come in the office, and they put on this facade of innocence. But it is so awkward because you can tell it's coming out of them. You know they've done it, all right? Hey, listen, you have that light of life in you. If you've been born again, that light's in you, and you follow Him. The Bible says in that verse, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." You're going to have that light with you. That's why He says to us, He said here in one place, "I am the light of the world," here in John 8. You go to other places in Scriptures and you'll find Him saying, "Ye are the light of the world." Why? Because if we're following Him, we're that light. Amen. And it's going to come out of us. If it doesn't, there's a problem. But the problem's not with the light. The problem's with you. If there's no light coming out of you, if there's no testimony in you, if there's no witness in you, you're not following Him very close. You're just barely dragging, keeping Him in sight, maybe. But you're not following Him very close. You see, if that light's in you, you're not going to walk in darkness. Not going to walk in darkness. Remember the old Peanuts comic strip? That Peanuts comic strip, that character Pigpen? Every time you saw Pigpen, there was a dust cloud with him. There's the way Charles Schulz drew him. He was filthy, and the filth was there with him. Listen, if you're a child of God and you're following him, you're not walking in darkness. You're going to carry that light with you. You're not going to have to haul it around like you carry around a family Bible going, "I'm a Christian, just want to see my Bible." You don't have to do that. It'll come out. It'll come out when you grimace when you hear somebody use the Lord's name in vain. It'll just show up, all right? It'll just show up. It'll show up when people start telling that off-color story and you turn away and don't want to listen. It'll show up, okay? It'll stand out. Hey, you're following him. You're not walking in darkness. Let me ask you this morning. Do you have that warmth that comes from the light? Who is the light of the world? Have you got that cheerful countenance? That cheerful outlook? Because light will cheer you. Hey, everywhere you go, is the light just oozing out of you? I mean, is it showing up? Is it out there where it can be seen? Is it out there? Hey, he is the light of the world. He was then, he is now, and he always will be. But today, that light is displayed to this world through you and me who belong to him. Now, the question is how much light's coming from you? If you feel yourself kind of getting cold as a Christian, then get a little closer to the light. Just move in closer to that light. If you're depressed or oppressed, then come to the light. Come to the light. Hey, you're avoiding that light today because you know what it reveals in you. Is that why you're a little bit reluctant? A little bit standoffish from the child of God, to other Christians, the church? Hey, you're avoiding that light because of what's in you. Hey, the thing to do is not avoid the light. The thing to do is come and confess it. Get right. Get right. Or you don't have to go through life downcast. You don't have to do that. There's an old chorus we used to sing years ago. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. Are we downhearted? No, no, no. Troubles may come and troubles may go. We'll trust in Jesus, come weal or woe. Are we downhearted? Not since we started. No, no, no. You don't need to ask that question. If you're walking in the light, if you're staying close to the light, nobody's going to come to you and say, "Why the low look? Why you look so downhearted? Why you downcast?" Don't have to do that. Won't be there. What about you? He is the light of the world. How much are you basking in that light? Have you come to the light? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Are you living in that light? Are you letting that light shine out of you? You got some problems. Need a little more light. Need a little more light. I'm at the age now where I try to read. It's not that the print's large, small. I just have to have a bright light, okay? Light it up. I went to the Cabela's the other day and bought me 3 headlamps strap on around my head. Not for trekking in the dark. For sitting in my recliner and reading, all right? I've got one in each one of my vehicles because I like to take a book along sometimes. When I go shopping with my wife, I take her shopping. I say, "I'll be right here in the car. I'll be waiting on you. I'll get out a book. I'll read." I got that light, man. I can see it. Hey, you need that light. You need that light. The more of it you got, the better off you are. It'll warm you. Ain't nothing wrong with it revealing sin because that way we can get it right. You don't avoid the light. Turn it on. I want to see what's wrong with me. Let me fix it. Let me get it right. What's your need this morning? Would you stand with every head bowed and every eye closed? Heavenly Father, Lord, would you just deal with our hearts this morning? Help us to see that we have available the light of the world. Lord, that light can cheer us. It can warm us. Lord, it can reveal some things that maybe need to be corrected. Lord, help us to live in that light. Help us not to be content to avoid it, but to seek that light and seek fellowship with you and to follow you as close as we can. Lord, would you deal with our hearts this morning? There's one here that's not saved. Would you give them the courage to step out, walk the aisle, and trust you today as their Savior? Lord, there's Christians here that need to do business with you. Would you help them to come? Would you help them to come today? I pray in Jesus' name.